Welcome to Tavern Tales Junior, a curated live play 5e Dungeons & Dragons podcast for kids and adults. In Tavern Tales Junior, we take a group of kids on a fantastical adventure full of friendship, adventure, and excitement using a modified 5e rule set. This podcast is created by and for kids. This is meant to be relatable and enjoyable. So let's see where they want to take the adventure today.
I'm wondering if you'd go wandering with me through the wilderness and woods, to where the winds are blowing free. Through the darkness of the night, heading toward the morning light, I wonder if you'd wander with me. And I'll spread the word, and you beat the drum. We'll round up the troops and get the gang to come. And we'll leave the streets and these neighborhoods, head over the river and through the woods.
Hello and welcome to Tavern Tales Junior, a podcast for kids and adults made by Kit. My name is Caitlin, and I play the role of Vulpina, a tabaxi ranger. She wears a hook-shaped necklace. It holds her pet jaguar, Maya. Maya is Vulpina's companion, and when Vulpina is in battle, she can take Maya out of her necklace, and Maya can fight by her side.
Oh my goodness, how did Vulpina meet Maya?
One day, she was just going for a walk, and she saw a baby jaguar. It was homeless. It didn't have a mom, so she took it in.
How did Vulpina know that that Maya did not have a mom?
Well, Vulpina waited there with the baby jaguar for 24 hours, and an adult jaguar did not come.
And they have been good friends ever since?
Yes.
Oh, that's wonderful. We'll hear more about Maya and Vulpina soon enough. Who's next at the table to introduce themselves?
Hello. My name is Alex. I play the role of Chris Tuffer. One of the things Chris used to do with his spare time was play tic-tac-toe with red and white mushrooms.
Dried mushrooms or like fresh
mushrooms? Fresh mushrooms.
Oh my goodness. So were they edible mushrooms? Were they mushrooms for eating or are they mushrooms for not eating?
No, they were not edible. That's often why you would use them to play a game, because they're poisonous.
Oh my goodness.
It's not like you can eat them.
Playing tic-tac-toe with poisonous mushrooms. Did the loser have to eat one of the mushrooms?
Sometimes. Oh, if like goodness. Their friend dared them to or something.
Is this a game he played with his mom a lot?
Yeah.
Cool. All right, who's next?
Hi, my name is Savannah, and I play the role of DJ Shardalong, a purple dragonborn. One of the things that DJ can do but hasn't done in battle is breathe lightning.
Oh my goodness. She doesn't do it very often, does she?
No.
No. Why do you think she doesn't breathe her lightning very often?
Because she's always using her magical greatsword.
That's true. Who's next?
Hi, I'm Robin. I play Sasha Kikian, a wizard tabaxi. And something really interesting about Sasha is that while she was in the care of Mikey Air with Lucy and Vulpina, I'll tell you more about Lucy, her, Mikey Air, and them would all go out into like an empty field and practice their skills. Mikey Air was very skilled in both combat and magic.
Interesting.
He cool. used to be an eldritch knight.
And then what happened?
And then Mikey Air disappeared, and Vulpina and Lucy both went looking for him and never returned.
Wow, cool.
But before that, they had all been entered into a school. So
you're telling me that Lucy knows you and Vulpina? Because she didn't seem to know you the last game.
Well, there's more about that.
All right, well, we'll get to that later.
I mean, I can tell you about Tiger Claw, because I have Tiger Claw's backstory right here.
You can definitely tell me about Tiger Claw later on. And who's next at the table?
Hi, I am Will, and I play the role of Flash Golden Dragon, a fighter that has a shocking rasp sword. And a very good fact about Flash is about his magic backpack does not carry everything. It only carries everything from his old adventure.
Oh, That's very interesting. I had no idea. I thought it was something he carried around all the time.
But he actually found it in a dark cave against one Umber Hulk.
Really?
So he had fighted an Umber Hulk before for some.
That's good to know.
In that gem inside of it. I don't see gems because it's on the bread.
Great. And I'm Kyle, and I'm the Dungeon Master and Shepherd of these junior players who are learning Dungeons & Dragons. And this is game 17. That's right, game 17 for these players at the table. They have spent the entire time at level 5, but very, very soon their characters are going to level up to level 6, which is a big level for a lot of them, with some major changes to their character sheets. However, they need to exhibit some of the knowledge that their characters have at level 5 in order to go on to level 6. And that's something we'll do in a game all too soon. So let's now slip out of our chairs, down through the floor into the earth of this world, and fall out of our bodies into the world of the imagination, specifically the world of Faerun, where... What's the weather like, Robin, in Faerun today?
Cold and rainy, with a hint of mint.
Okay, to the north, it is cold and rainy with a hint of mint. However, as we move further south to the steamy jungles of Tanjika, and the Tanjikan jungle, it is raining as well. There is smoke in the air as the inn... What was the inn called? The Last Tabaxi?
No, the furry tabaxi inn.
The furry tabaxi inn. Did it explode last game?
Yeah. Although we saw _5000 alive.
I know. The smoke curls up into the sky early in the morning. It has just dawned, and a whole bunch of troops are out on the streets of Tanjika in front of the furry tabaxi inn. Rose is there as well. And it is the characters who are sneaking back to Captain Cord Thunder's home. Captain Cord Thunder is a friend of two of these characters. Who is Captain Cord Thunder a friend of?
Chris and Flash.
That's right, because you met her earlier in the day, the previous day, I guess.
Can I speak with Captain Cord Thunder alone?
In a moment, once we've got the game started. So our characters find themselves in the beautiful... home of Captain Cord Thunder, which was described in great detail last game by the players. And you're taking a moment to gather yourselves together and to figure out a plan, because you're about to go and have a meeting with Rose and Captain Cord Thunder in regards to Tiger Claw. So there you are in Captain Cord Thunder's home, and it's almost time to leave. Let's set our scene right now, as the group is around a table, and Georgington says,
"Well, what do you think we should try to do in order to achieve our stated aim?"
So, Rose and Captain Cord Thunder are about to have a meeting with the group as well. Of course, Rose thinks all of you are dead, right? So what do you want to do?
Any ideas, guys? Get off!
Well, we could just hide out here, pretend that we are really dead, so that...
I kind of think we should show up and be like, "Ha ha ha, we're in your face." And if Captain Cord Thunder's there, Rose can't just kill us, because Captain Cord Thunder will obviously tell somebody else. I think we should go. Do you guys want to go?
I think we should go, but playing dead. When she's not looking, we should move forwards a little. And then when she looks back in front of her, we move again a little bit.
Isn't she going to notice that there are like these dead bodies showed up and they're slowly inching their way toward her?
Yeah, she's probably going to notice that.
Let's just show her that we're alive. She's going to find out sooner or later.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Let's be blunt about it and shove it in her face.
And I'm going to play dead on her.
Why don't we not shove it in her face? Because won't it already be surprising because she thinks we're dead?
I know, but still, it's funny. I personally hate Tiger Claw for many a reason, so shoving it in his ally's face is just funny to me.
Well, if you guys are going, I'll go too.
What about you, Flash?
I'm coming.
The question is, what are you going to do when you get there?
I'm going to play dead.
To her?
About Tiger Claw? I don't know.
I'm going to play dead.
I mean, I got a lot of stuff to say.
I'm going to play dead.
Okay. Does anybody else want to have any talk before you go and have this meeting with Captain Cord Thunder and Rose?
No.
Not really.
No.
Okay, then. Let's set the scene. You have arrived back at the Tanjikan Guard residence, which has the Lord's Own of Tanjika established there as well. And you're in Captain Cord Thunder's office, which is this big, beautiful, marble-colored, stone-worked office with this big desk. And there's a whole bunch of chairs. There's one door and a big bay window with a porch on it, a balcony. And a big bay window with a balcony on it. And you arrive under the cloak of darkness, hiding and sneaking your way in. So Captain Cord Thunder flies in and meets you in the room. And you're all situated. And Rose knocks on the door.
Come in.
The door opens. And are you all just standing and sitting right in the way, right away? Or are you...
I'm hitting, but I'm playing dead. And I just moved a little bit.
I want to say we're hidden. And when she comes to sit down to surprise her more, we walk into the room.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You're on the balcony right now?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, but that...
Yeah, we should do that.
Yeah, but I...
Okay, yes, I get it, Flash. You're pretending to be dead. Okay.
And then you just jump up.
Then why bother pretending to be dead? So Rose comes in. Captain Cord Thunder is sitting at her desk. And Rose steps forward and says, sir, and salutes. And before Captain Cord Thunder can say anything at all about being, you know, at ease or whatnot, Rose launches into her initial discussion of saying, I don't know why you summoned me. This was supposed to be a meeting with the Lord's Own from Fairhaven, and they are all gone. I don't understand why this meeting is still necessary.
And then we come out of the shadows.
As you appear from the balcony, surprising Rose, can I get a D20 check for...
Insight.
I need insight checks from all of you.
50!
24.
Did you roll a natural 20?
Yeah.
Oh, well then we know what you all have to do for that. One, two, three.
The
Lord's Own! Fairhaven!
All right.
Not Tanjika.
How did you do?
16.
16. 10.
That means everyone but Vulpina, who is probably in the back and is the last to get into the room, sees a look cross Rose's face. And that look is relief. She is happy that you are not dead. And... tries to mask it immediately.
I still don't like her.
But she is very happy that you are alive. And in fact, with your natural 20, Sasha, you realize that if Rose is happy that you are alive, that she is working for Tiger Claw, but not wanting to work for Tiger Claw.
I tell everybody this.
Right away?
Yeah, I under the cover, like, whisper to in everybody's ear, and I'm like, guys, if Rose is happy, I saw Rose be happy when we came out of the shadows. This must mean that she's working for Tiger Claw, but she is being forced to. What do you guys think?
You whisper that to the group as Cord Thunder beckons you in and calls for the arrest of Rose.
Arrest her!
No, wait! Captain Cord Thunder!
What?
I think that Rose is happy we're alive. I have a theory.
Continue?
Rose, as soon as we walked in, I saw Rose look a little bit happy that we were there. And it looked as if she was happy. And we know that she's working for Tiger Claw because we saw her there at the thing.
I say, but she whispered it to everyone.
It's true. Rose was like elated that we were still alive.
And DJ, what were you going to do to support?
I didn't. I at first thought she might be right, but then I changed my mind.
That who's right?
That Sasha's right.
Oh, you think Sasha's wrong now?
Yeah, because what if she's trying to trick us?
So this is the part of the game, is that we all know that Sasha got a natural 20 on her insight check.
Actually, that's a fair point.
So she knows she saw the truth cross Rose's face without Rose being able to hide it. So how would you like to help Sasha convince Cord Thunder that Rose is being controlled? Do you want to mention something about the oath you have to take as a member of the Lord's Own?
Yeah.
Okay. What is the part of the oath that you're going to bring up to help Sasha?
We can't betray each other.
That's great. Yeah, that's a perfect part of it. And that's what DJ brings up. And in fact, with that awesome color, I'm going to give Sasha advantage on her check. So please roll the dice now that I've told you what it is. And you're looking for a 15. Roll two of them. Yeah, I'm not kidding. You have to roll two dice.
Okay. 14.
Not quite good enough. You try with all your might, but Cord Thunder still has Rose arrested and dragged from the room. And Cord Thunder says,
Rock, you can interrogate her at your will, but she has defiled the city, the inner city of Tanjika.
I see. And you are captain, so there's not a lot of point arguing now that she's been taken away. We'll just have to find another way to free her after Tiger Claw's gotten rid of. And the only way to do that, of course, is to win the race. But the race is in a few days, so we need dinosaurs first, too. Captain Cord Thunder, what are we going to do now?
What do you want to do?
We should probably keep hiding, because Tiger Claw is going to find out Rose was thrown in, interrogate you, and I don't want to be found. Not yet.
Just me, too. Tiger Claw hates me.
How can I help you, then?
What do you guys think? I just blanked. All the ways I can think is hard.
At some point, we should go look for dinosaurs.
Yeah, it would be really helpful if you could help us pay or repay you for some dinosaurs. We need dinosaurs really badly, because one of our plans is to win the dinosaur race. Not as easy as it seems. And the dinosaur race is in like a week, so we'd need dinosaurs by then. But otherwise, you can help us get some dinosaurs and help us hide out still. Anything else, guys?
If we don't want to be found yet until the race, is it okay if we stay here for a bit?
At the guard's residence?
Sure.
You're going to try to persuade her to let you stay there? You can really only get Captain Cord Thunder to do one thing for you. So would you like her to protect you and hide you here? Or do you want her to help you find dinosaurs?
Help us find dinosaurs, I think.
Yeah.
We need the dinosaurs.
We also need a place to hide and stay, though.
Mm-hmm.
But if we don't have dinosaurs, then there's no chance we can actually enter the race.
Yeah.
If we don't have a place to stay, we could get captured before the race even starts.
But Tiger Claw, there's a lot of other people there. And Tiger Claw is one of the only people on Guardian. And he doesn't really have the full potential to just lock us up on no actual reason. So if we get captured, sure. But he should at least give us the right to go. Tiger Claw does not want to betray his city. And I know that. If he does anything, he wants to be a leader, but he wants to be a good, but still mean leader. He's fair, but still, so I would say he's chaotic good. We need dinosaurs.
Yeah, we need dinosaurs.
So has the group decided?
Yes.
Okay, you're going to ask Captain Cord Thunder to help you with dinosaurs. That means you are on your own for trying to hide and figure out where you're going to stay in the city of Tanjika itself. Now, Captain Cord Thunder says the dinosaurs can be gotten on the west bank, well, one of the two banks, from a very valuable merchant. And Captain Cord Thunder has a really good friend who is a dinosaur dealer who raises and breeds dinosaurs and trades them. And you might be able to persuade this person, who is Captain Cord Thunder's friend, to give you dinosaurs at a really good rate or whatnot. How about Caitlin? Tell me, what type of race is this friend of Captain Cord Thunder's?
A dragonborn.
Alex, is it a male dragonborn or a female dragonborn?
I'm gonna say female.
And what color is the female dragonborn, Savannah?
Yellow.
Like bronze or gold?
Bronze.
And Robin, what is her name?
Bree.
What's her last name, Will?
Trigada.
Captain Cord Thunder gets a boat. One of the guards' boats. You guys get onto this boat and are shipped off to one of the two banks, the bank that has Bree Dragodara. And Captain Cord Thunder tells you that a secret phrase that you need to use to tell Bree that you are a friend of Captain Cord Thunder's. What's this phrase?
Thunder XY.
And some other part. What's the other part of it, Sav?
Command.
What, Alex?
Fire.
Command fire to what, Caitlin?
To lightning.
There is a mist on the river as the guard takes you across in the boat. You're all wearing cloaks. Are you wearing your Lord's own cloaks, or have you swapped them out for different type of cloaks?
Different cloaks.
Hide and cover yourself.
Like red ones that are like
I don't know, like blood red or something.
Pretty noticeable blood red cloaks walking around like the city of Tanjika.
Maybe like a velvet red, I don't know.
Still red is pretty still noticeable. Red.
The buildings are white and I have a white cloak.
Red, different color cloaks, I don't know, white. Let's go with white. If anyone notices, we'll say we are people who work for a ministry.
Cool. Okay, you come up with a little thing to say on the boat as you're trying to figure out what you do, and you've traded all of your Lord's Own cloaks, the green cloaks with the red brooch of the Lord's Own symbol clasp, tucked those away in your packs, and you're wearing these white cloaks of the Tanjikan Guard as you move your way into the eastern side. And Flash, as you are putting your cloak in your magical backpack, something inside the backpack hugs your hand.
I think it was the, remember the elf that I put in my backpack?
I don't remember an elf in your backpack.
It was like a goblin.
Well, you have the light of the goblin's past, but not an actual goblin in your backpack. But something hugs your hand, and when you try to pull it away, it lets go.
And it looks green.
What are you thinking about? Do you think about anything when you pull your hand back out of your backpack?
I feel like it's a zombie.
You're thinking about zombies when you pull your hand out of your backpack?
Uh-huh.
So there's a sound from within your backpack as you pull your hand out that goes...
Flash, what was that noise?
I think it's a zombie.
What?
It's... zombies probably steal stuff, and I don't know why. But they can't go out in light. They only go out at night.
Okay, nighttime zombies. Nevertheless, do you look into the backpack at all? There is a zombie-like hand crawling around in your backpack.
A zombie hand!
It's just a little hand crawling around in your backpack.
But it can eat us.
What?
And what do you do now with Flash?
Pick it up and throw it out of the window.
As you pick it up, you're thinking about something your mom gave you.
My mom gave me that book.
Right, and it turns into a book.
The hand turned on?
Yeah, the zombie hand turns into a book.
Wait, what? And it was the right book that my mom gave me.
Yeah, it's this like nice book that your mom gave you. A little book of poetry and nursery rhymes that your mom gave you when you were very little. And it turns into that. But when you open it up, it only has the pages you remember in it. It doesn't have anything else. Do you think about anything else when you're doing that?
Sometimes I start remembering the pages that are not in the book.
Oh, cool. And then...
they just come in the book.
They kind of come into the book as well. And then also you notice, though, the light of the goblin's past isn't glowing in your backpack right now.
It needs to charge up.
And the cheese sandwiches that were in your backpack are all gone. And a lot of the things that you were keeping in your magical backpack seem to have been removed or disappeared in some regard.
Everybody check around the place.
What are they checking for?
Some of my stuff are gone.
Some of his stuff is missing. When you think about the light of the goblin's past, the book in your hand turns into the light of the goblin's past.
Guys, can I show you something?
You pull out the light of the goblin's past?
And then I pull out the other one?
No, there's no other one. That's just the one in your hand. The light of the goblin's past glows the eerie green light that it always sheds whenever he pulls it out of the backpack.
Then I think about this book and then it makes this smart cloud. Psh, what the?
Flash, you're rooting around in the backpack and you notice the glass jar that had the mimic ooze that you collected, the blood of the mimic that you had. Remember that?
Yeah.
It's gone.
And then I think about the blood minute.
It does not turn into that. It actually turns into an almost see-through, translucent blob with two tentacles that look at you, and it goes...
I think that's a mimic.
He has a mimic. I was actually planning to use the mimic in my spell.
Oh dear.
I can take arcana checks from anybody who wants to try to figure out what this is.
I think it's a mimic.
Go ahead. Yeah, roll away.
And it looks like it's mine, mimic.
10.
How'd you do, DJ?
12.
Ooh. And Chris?
10.
And Will has rolled what? And that's a 14 for you. So you're the only one who knows that this is a baby mimic. That a mimic's blood, if it absorbs and ingests enough other magical things and other items, that it will become a mimic of its own. And it seems to have bonded to you. And now you have a tiny creature, a baby mimic, that seems to have bonded with you and thinks of you as its mommy or daddy.
Wait, is my sword in still in there?
You never keep your sword in the backpack.
Oh, yeah. But where I keep it is just on, like, it's on my back, but I have this spot on my backpack where I can put...
Oh, there's a sheath on your backpack to put your sword into? That's a really cool color, bud. That's a great idea.
And it's blue.
Yeah, of course it is. And when you think about your sword and hoping that it's not in the backpack, the translucent thing in his hands, guys, turns into a tiny version of the sword.
And it grows bigger?
No, it doesn't really grow too much bigger. It's just a tiny version of your shock and grasp sword.
It's just this big.
Yeah, nobody can see that at home, but yeah, exactly. It's just a tiny little one. It's like the size of your pen. What do you think about this mimic that's running around in your backpack there, Flash?
Can the mimic, like, help us in battles?
It might be able to, depending on what you teach it to do. It's just a baby. It doesn't know anything yet. It can't even talk.
I can teach it how to talk English.
You could, yeah. You could work on that.
Hey, Flash, what's that oozy thing in your hand?
It's a baby mimic.
What?
And it's my own mimic.
What?
It likes me.
Has Flash gone crazy?
No. I don't know, but it kind of sounds like it.
Yeah, how did that happen? How does he just randomly wind up with a mimic?
Hey, guys, remember that jar of mimic thing that he had in his bag?
Yeah. I think it absorbed some of my stuff because my cheese.
Hey, Flash, let me take a look at it.
Here you go.
Aw, it's so cute. Wait. Ugh, it's got...
And it also, and sometimes the tiny version of my sword just randomly appears in his hand.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, it's a little mimic that can fight.
While Sasha's investigating the mimic, which grows little sharp teeth and looks like a treasure chest that wants to eat you, but it's really small. While Sasha is looking at that and investigating and having this conversation, the other three of you, Volpina and Georgington as well, Chris and DJ, you notice that the backpack that Flash is carrying isn't glowing at all. It normally has a little suffusive light that comes out of the top of it almost all the time, but it is not doing that right now. It in fact looks more and more like a regular backpack.
Flash?
Your backpack isn't glowing.
Yeah, it's not.
Then I see this little slot that can open, and then I see batteries in it.
The mimic turns into batteries for you.
Oh, a little bitty.
I think it took your batteries.
And I also have my own batteries.
Oh, okay, yes, we've talked about that in the past. So, what do you do with this mimic, Flash?
I teach it how to say all the foods, and then I feed it some of the foods that I still have.
Yep.
And then it says its favorite one of those foods.
Okay, yeah, you make it, you give it to sample a bunch of things, and it very much likes magic things more than anything else. And it also likes living things.
Let's hope it doesn't get too ginormous.
Yeah.
But it seems to be your friend, and it crawls and slithers up your arm with its weird pseudopods.
Is it our party's friend?
Yeah, it can become the party's friend if you want it to. And do you give it a name, Flash?
I call it Slobby.
Slobby.
Slobby
the mimic?
Yeah. Last name is Slammy.
Slobby Slammy?
Slobby the Slammy.
Salami? Slobby Salami?
For one of the...
Well, I'll tell you, I really like...
Salami. It was a magic salami, but it was his favorite.
He loves magic salami. Okay, well, Slobby the Mimic is a really great name. I'm very happy about that. When you put Slobby back into your backpack, the backpack begins to glow again like it normally does. However, you have to be very careful from this point on, Flash, that if you reach in to take something or put something in your magical backpack, Slobby might eat it.
I have extra backpacks, so...
Okay. Yeah, Slobby's actually eaten several of your extra backpacks.
I give Flash a container that can hold mimic blood, that it can't be broken.
Okay, well, Slobby won't fit in that container. but he does fit nicely in the backpack. And when you go to put your cloak of the Lord's Own into your backpack, you need to make a persuasion check or an intimidation check.
Intimidation.
I really recommend persuasion against your friend Slobby, as opposed to trying to make him scared of you, to tell him not to eat your cloak and brooch of the Lord's Own.
Another problem with this, what if Slobby eats the backpack he is currently in? What happens if he eats it from the inside
out? That'll be a problem.
15 plus 4 is 19. Yes, you definitely have convinced Slobby to not eat your Lord's Own cloak. And Slobby crawls all over it and licks the brooch several times, but does not eat your cloak. And then he curls up like a cat and falls asleep.
And he also learns how to say eat.
So that happens, and then you get off the boat, and the streets are crowded in Tenjika of tabaxis and humans, and some dragonborns, not very many. And you make your way towards Bri Dragadara, the bronze dragonborn's shop. What is the name of the shop that Bri owns, where she raises and sells and whatnot and transacts dinosaurs?
Dragadara's Dinosaurs.
Scales Shop?
Dragadara's Dinosaurs and Scales Shop. You make your way through the crowded streets of Tenjikas. You're jostled, but many people move out of the way respectfully for the white-cloaked guards of the Tenjikan forces. There are many strange animals that you have not seen on the streets that are being ridden by people and hauling carts. There is a giant ostrich. It's got huge, thick legs. It is almost 20 feet tall. Huge feathers, and it strides down, and it's got a rider in flowing robes sitting on it, and it's pulling a little cart that has a whole bunch of some sort of fancy material in it. What sort of fancy material is in the cart?
Velvets and silks.
And as the cart rolls out of the way, it reveals the entrance to Dragadara's Scales and Dinosaur Market. And inside, you see a whole bunch of land-based dinosaurs. Triceratopses, stegosauruses, allosauruses, brachiosauruses, but no flying dinosaurs, no velociraptors, and no ankylosauruses are here. But then again, it's not that big a market. It's only got like 10 or 12 stalls. But there in the front, wearing a leather apron, carrying like 6 or 7 pairs of gloves around a belt, and wearing big, like thick gumboot type leather boots so they can walk through dinosaur poop and not get hurt, is this bronze dragonborn. And she glows in the sunlight and looks like she's having an amazing time.
Excuse me, Miss Dragadara.
She looks up. She's tending to a baby triceratops, and it is busy in the market because the race is only a couple of days away. And she looks up and sees that you're all members of the Tenjikan Guard, and her eyes narrow quizzically, and she says in a bronzish voice that sounds like she's stabbing people, she says, "Yes! What?"
"Thunder XY, command fire to lightning."
Her eyes go wide, and she says, "Could have said that quieter. Come with me." And she pulls you all into a small room that has lots of medicines and ointments and really hardly enough space for all of you. And she's like, "Cannot one of you, two of you wait outside? Never mind. What do you want? What's Cord Thunder want now?"
"Well, Cord Thunder's helping."
"And who are you?"
I pull down my cloak.
She gasps. And then she sees Vulpina and gasps. "You! You're the most wanted people in all of Tenjika."
"If you sell us out, oh man, ho ho, there are gonna be some kick butts."
"Well, I tell you, girl, I would sell you all out. However, I cannot, because you said the code."
"Me and Vulpina and our fellow friends among us, we would like some dinosaurs. We'll pay for them."
"Right.
But we would need dinosaurs that are not exactly on display right now."
"You're telling me you have thousands and thousands of gold on hand?"
There's a good 100, I would say.
"I have 1,000 pieces. Guard.
We got a few hundred, but not thousands and thousands. We require an ankylosaurus, a triceratops, a velociraptor. Is it a velociraptor or an overraptor?"
"I think we settled for overraptor."
"Sorry, an overraptor.
and
Dimetrodon.
Dimetrodon and pterodactyls.
She rolls her eyes and says, "You need a whole team, and you use the code." Yeah, there's nothing I won't do for Captain Cord Thunder, my dearest friend.
Hey, if Captain Cord Thunder's friends with Chris and Flash, there's a lot to say.
All right, I don't have all of those animals. Not only that, but if you're entering the date, the deadline to enter the race is today.
I know.
You know where to go to enter the race.
I mean, kind of.
All right. I can get you three of those animals. I cannot get you the Oviraptor, and I cannot get you the Ankylosaurus. I can get you a pterodactyl.
Pteranodon.
A pteranodon? Oh, even harder. Nonetheless, I can get one of those, but yeah, we folk. All right. But since you're also a dragonborn, and I respect me race, I'll do what I can. You have to do two things. You'll have to go to my nemesis. We'll get to him in a moment. You'll have to barter with him for the two dinosaurs I didn't have. It'll be difficult. The second, you'll have to enter the race.
Where is that exactly?
Thankfully, you're in the right side of the river, at least. But it's over by the bridge. It's one of the tariff buildings. It's a new thing the Tiger Claw implemented this year.
And when he said... And when she says Tiger Claw, I spit and I'm like, ugh! And under my breath, I swear at him in Tabaxi language.
Cool. Do your hackles raise up too, like an angry cat sort of thing?
Yeah.
Cool. Does Volpina's hackles raise as well? Does she get angry too?
Yeah. Stupid. So, I hate him.
The one thing we haven't done on this recording yet is that we got all of us something new today that we've never had before for this game, and that I commissioned some artwork that everybody got to see for the very first time. And while this episode is not going to come out until really, really late in the year, because that's how often Tavern Tales Jr. comes out, let's all thank the person I commissioned this art from, and her name is Meg. So let's all say thank you, Meg.
Thank you, Meg.
Thank you, Meg.
And we'll all say a few things we love about our piece of art, starting with Robin.
Oh, I love Sasha, the way Sasha's looking and just like the magic around her. And I love her feet too. They look awesome. And her hair.
Cool. And Savannah?
I love DJ because she really looks like how I would imagine her. And I love how cool her great sword looks.
It's pretty cool. What do you think of her dreadlocks, that the hair that she kind of has that are kind of little tails off her hair?
Yeah, it's really cool.
That's awesome. Hey.
I really, really like Sort Sword, like a glowing black with magic.
Because it's absorbing all of the light around it.
Yeah.
What do you think of his eyes?
Yeah.
That's exactly, cool. Is that how you pictured them?
Yeah, that is exactly how I pictured them.
That's awesome. Caitlin, what do you think?
I love the way that Volpina is positioned to fire her arrow. It's like a really cool position.
I think it's awesome, hey? Anything else about Volpina you like? What about her hair?
Yeah, her hair is really cool.
Is that how you pictured her hair?
Yep.
And do you think she's less red than you imagined her, or is she the right color of red?
She's the right color.
That's awesome. And Will?
I really like the glow on Flash's backpack and like the lightning on his sword, and his armor looks pretty cool.
That's pretty awesome. And my NPC, Georgington, has the best chin of everyone in the group because his chin is amazing and his hair is amazing too. Just like Georgington himself is amazing. And the thing I love the most, though, is that every single one of the characters has their green Lord's Own cloak with their red Lord's Own brooch around their neck. That makes me happy because it shows everybody's part of the same team. Once again, thank you, Meg. And if you're looking for wonderful junior commissions for your junior players, Meg is the person to go to because her characters have this youthful exuberance to them in everything she does.
You can find all of the pictures that we referred to in today's episode on our website, www.taverntales.ca. And as much as we liked them, you know what we would like even more is throw a commission Meg's way. She's on Twitter, @MeggieSue13. And I'm sure she would love the patronage.
You're wondering if I go wandering with you. What kind of trouble we'll get ourselves into? Would it be wrong to tag along with a band of vagabonds? You wonder if
if I'd wander with you. So I'll spread the word and you beat the drum. We'll round up the troops and get the gang to come. And we'll leave the streets.
This concludes this episode of Tavern Tales Jr. We'll be back in 1 month with a brand new episode. Our intro and outro music is Through the Woods by Okie Dokie Brothers. Find their music on iTunes by checking them out at www.okiedokie.org and follow them on Twitter at Okie Dokie Bros. We love a review on iTunes. Check us out on Twitter, @tavern_tales. See y'all later.
I'm wondering if you'd come wandering my way. If you ever get lost, or if the trail leads you astray, the music of the pack can always bring you back. I wonder, can we wander away? And I'll spread the word, and you beat the drum. Round up the troops, and get the gang to come. And we'll leave the streets in these neighborhoods. Head over the river.